There's a promise found throughout the Bible, and it's a promise that God makes to every single person who is on this planet. And he says this, "If you draw close to me, I will draw close to you." This promise is found in the Old Testament as well as the New. It's in multiple books throughout the Bible. And what this promise really is an invitation. It's an invitation to enter in to a relationship or to deepen our relationship with God, the creator of the universe, and his son Jesus Christ. James, the brother of Jesus, declared this invitation to draw close to God, and he will draw close to you. King David wrote down in a song with the deepest parts of his soul, crying that to draw near to God is a promise that he will draw near to you. And as many of us are really starting to feel the effects of isolation, the reality setting in of our daily lives being disrupted, the way of life as we knew it has changed. There's uncertainty in the air. There's a stirring in many of our souls. And I believe that it's in this time that we need to draw near to God like never before. And recently I've been looking at 1st and 2nd Chronicles, particularly today, 1st Chronicles 28, verse 9. It was a time when King David had taken the throne. He's established his kingdom. He has built this palace, this home for himself. And now, as he looks around, it dawns on him that his focus has been on himself. His focus has been on his wants, his desires. Although he praises God for his success, although he still comes to God and gives God the glory for it, he is recognizing that his hands have been busy establishing his own kingdom and not God's kingdom. David sees this and he makes a decision that he must now build a house for God, because God's ark, which houses his very word, has been dwelling in a tent or dwelling in temporary settings. David wants a permanent dwelling place for God and for his word, and so he decides to build a temple. And I think about this, I've been thinking about this as I see the situation before us with COVID-19. I think about how God is so often in my life put in a tent or some temporary dwelling place when in fact he desires so much more. How much time, how much energy have I spent building my own kingdom? And then I think about what's really important. I think about the things that are really important in life, and that's relationship. And I think about God's invitation. Draw near to me, and I will draw near to you. This is a personal invitation. I heard an insightful comment this week from a business owner in regards to our lives in this current situation with COVID-19. And he said this. He said, "In the rush to return to normal, let us use this time to consider which parts of normal are worth running back to." Or, as Oscar Wilde casually said, tongue-in-cheek, in his book, The Picture of Dorian Gray, "Didn't they realize that we live in an age when unnecessary things are our only necessities?" I think that defines us as Americans pretty well. But it's much like this story in Chronicles. Have I made my life the focus as I see it and left God dwelling in a tent? The picture in the story becomes our heart. Have I drawn close to him with my heart, or am I merely keeping a distance, keeping him in a temporary dwelling place as I really focus on building my own kingdom. But David, realizing his fault, comes to God and confesses to God and says, I'm going to build you this magnificent temple. And God sees that. He sees David's heart, but he says, David, it's not you who's going to build it, but it's your son Solomon. And so this is where we are in 1 Chronicles 28, is David speaking to his son Solomon, giving him advice. So let's start. David starts off in verse 9 and he says, as for you, my son Solomon, know the God of your father and serve him with the whole heart and willing mind. Know the God of your father. To know someone is to learn about them, to learn about their ways, to learn deeply who they are, to interact with them on a personal level. We do this as we pick up God's word. This is how we learn who he is. We learn his ways, and we learn that most times his ways are not our ways. So then we have to bend to meet his ways. It requires a change on our part. The change occurs in our perception of how we view the world, how we view the world around us and the people around us in light of this revelation of God, in light of eternity, in light of the limited amount of time that we are here together sharing this planet and the impact that that small amount of time makes on each one of our individual eternities. We also learn more of someone, obviously, by talking to them. We do this on a personal level with each other as we engage in conversation. The invitation here is that God invites us into a dialogue with him through prayer, and for us to take time to be alone, to be still, to know that he is God by coming to him in humble prayer, in submission, is a way of us to begin to really know who he is. This is what David is telling Solomon. He's saying, serve him. Serve him with your whole heart. It's a call to action. It's a call saying that this is going to take work. Any relationship takes work to succeed, to flourish, to grow. And God invites us into that. And then he promises that what you put into it, you will get back. And you will get back multiple times if you do it with a whole heart, with a willing mind. As we draw near to him, the immediate return is this sense of peace, something that is needed right now, a sense of comfort, something that we need right now. And it's a sense of peace and comfort that our own making, my own kingdom, my own devices can never produce, because Jesus says, come to me and I will give you rest. So then David says this to Solomon, for the Lord searches our hearts and understands every intent of the thoughts. Did you get that? He searches all hearts. That's to say that this invitation is to everyone. He is inviting everyone to know him more. And more often times than not, it's through the difficult times, it's through the times of trial that we press in and that we begin to really know God on a deeper level. We are experiencing a trial on a scale that I would say none of us have seen before as we go through it together. Yet individually, we have to seek out God. David saw this. He knew it. He knew it because he sees that God understands every intent. God already knows where we fail, where we need help. David saw this. He knew it because he lived it on many occasions. he found himself calling to God in desperation over and over in his life. He heard and he listened and followed the invitation of God to come and draw near to him. On our worst days, God still loves us and invites us closer to him. On those days when maybe we can't see the light, on those days when we are upset, on the days when we are depressed, on the days when we are confused, maybe unaffected by things that we should be, indifferent, he's there and he's inviting us in still. And he's calling us to come draw near so that he can give us much more than our temporary earthly dwelling could ever give. Because what he offers when we draw near to him is not just a temporary sense of peace or a temporary place, but it is a permanent dwelling place. Eternal life forever with him and with his son, Jesus Christ. And finally, here's the promise. Here's the promise. David tells Solomon, if you seek him or draw near to him, he will let you find him. But if you forsake him, he will reject you forever. Consider now, for the Lord has chosen you to build a house for the sanctuary. Be courageous and act. Do you see how he says, consider now? That's now, not later. See, God is stationary. He is still. He is forever. He is immovable. It is us who flutter, who fluctuate. It is us who question, who doubt. It is us who ride like ice on a hot pan. But God is there waiting, inviting us to know him more, to know him deeper. We are always either moving toward God or away from him. We never stay in one place. And the invitation, the call, is to come closer to him. David realized this in his life. He knew it, and so he called his son to recognize this. Notice how he shares that with the others around him, his closest relationships hinged on that. That God is there inviting him into a relationship, and if he draws near to this God, then he will gain a better perspective, not only of the world around him, not only of his whole life and himself and his inner workings, but ultimately of the very creator of the universe, which is the most wonderful gift that someone can get because it brings with it a sense of peace, a sense of comfort, a sense of stability that anything else in this life can give. And it only takes the response of this invitation to believe in Jesus Christ. And David says, consider now, right now. He's saying right now, not later, because there is no promise of a future. We are a people who live in the present. Our choices are made right here today, this morning, in the present. And those choices right now will impact the future. And the Lord says that he has chosen you. He has invited you to build a sanctuary, a place for him to dwell. I think about this in light of that we're not meeting in a physical building right now. We're not meeting where we usually do on Sunday mornings, but yet God is calling us to build a sanctuary and calling us to build it within our hearts. As I said before, this story is also a picture of God living within us, within our heart. The dwelling place of God becomes our heart. Jesus desires that we invite him in because he has invited us. He invites us to bring him into our hopes, into our dreams, into our fears, into our questions, and he promises that he will then make his dwelling place there within us. He will draw near to you like you've never known before if you draw near to him. G.K. Chesterton said in his book, Orthodoxy, it's time that we give up looking for questions and began looking for answers. So what I'm saying is take this time right now that we have before us, this present time right now, take this time to open up Scripture, to learn of God, to learn of our Savior Jesus Christ, and to gain a new perspective on this short time that we're here on this earth. Take this time to pray. Intensify your personal prayer life. Spend time praying for so many others who need it right now. As a family, we've decided to do like many other families have done, and that is just to camp out at home. We've decided to reduce our footprint as much as possible so that we can do our part to reduce the chance of spreading this virus. You know, many of you guys know I have two boys that in the past have had some pretty scary complications from other viruses that are similar to this one, and we don't know what this virus will do to their bodies. And so we've decided to separate ourselves as much as possible for their sake, but also for the sake of many others that we love and we care about that we don't want to risk infecting. But in this time of isolation, in this time of quietness, I found that it's a time that I need to intensify my personal prayer life, that I need to draw nearer to God, that I need to spend time praying for the people around me who need it so badly. I believe, though, that it's in that approach, as we each draw near to God, each of us, alone, separate, as difficult as it may seem, as difficult as it is for many of us, that individually, if we take this time to draw near to God and then to realize and to experience His drawing near to us, that when we do finally come together, guys, when we do finally meet together as a family again one day, that we will be stronger, that we will be more humble, that we will be a people that are better prepared to serve and to worship our God because we have wisely made a place for Him within our hearts as we've responded properly to the invitation. To draw near to Him as never before. To draw near to Him, and He will draw near to you. This is the invitation. This is a promise from the Creator of heaven and earth. Take care. God bless.